This is Takuma Sato, 2017 Indy 500 champion. You are on the road with Dan on WGN.
WGN on the road with Dane, live here in the Allstate Showcase studio on Michigan Avenue. Honored to have, as we get into just that time period, the calm before the big storm, the Indianapolis 500 coming up very, very soon. And in studio, we've got two people who have attachments to Indianapolis Speedway, the tradition, the legacy, and also the championship. Jim Corneliusson here. We know him and love him as the voice, basically, of our Blackhawks, getting the crowd ready and really kind of putting the other team, I think, at a disadvantage, right? Because everyone is so super excited. I've seen other teams be, I would use the word demoralized, right? It's like, what is going on here? Because they know that they are not just facing the Blackhawks, they are facing Blackhawk Nation, the crowds, and you certainly set the stage for that. And he'll be doing it, singing Back Home in Indiana, coming up for the Indianapolis 500. We'll talk with Jim as well. And in studio, and this is a guy who has raced in Formula One. He's raced in Verizon IndyCar. He races for Ray Hall Letterman Lanigan Racing now, and he is the defending Indianapolis 500 champion, the one and only Takuma Sato. Takuma, welcome to Chicago, and welcome to WGN.
Thank you for having me.
These are exciting times. You know, I think the whole thing had to been exciting. The moment that you won and you realized that you won, you had been in IndyCar for a while, so you kind of understood what it meant and kind of, you know, how your life would change after that. But from that moment on, you have been kind of on this roller coaster, right?
Well, absolutely. I had no idea, really. I mean, you had some expectation, right? I mean, Indy 500, it's the pinnacle of the racing. I mean, it's, as you look at the histories, and it's an incredible event. So I kind of expecting it's a special, but that's beyond your imagination, and you never really truly could able to how can I say the imagine how it's going to be. And since I won the race, every day it's just an unbelievable journey.
Give a little perspective to, you know, Formula One is really the world's racing, and so many fans around the world, countries all over the place doing it. But there is, I think, very few events that equal the Indianapolis 500. It is the largest spectator sporting event in the world. It happens, and it has that cachet from around the world. We talked about it forever. You'll be introduced as an Indy 500 champion. Where does it fit, you know, as far as, you know, winning, let's say winning a race or winning maybe a championship in Formula One, it's one thing. I got to think it's bigger doing the 500.
It's a little bit inappropriate if you do compare, because it's not really apple to apple. But
right.
I think the Formula One, you know, it is every single event is representative of your countries, and that's a special event, no doubt about it. And of course, in a Verizon IndyCar series, the same. You know, it's the same way. It's every weekend is special. We really leave any 1% of your energy. However, the Indy 500, it just by itself, it's just standing alone. And completely unique, and nothing like it. I mean, you talk about usually 2-3 days event, you know, for the most of the racing. But, you know, Indy 500, just you call the month of May, you know, over 2 weeks and 300,000 people, you're building up. I mean, you do the qualify, right? After 10 days of practice, you do the qualify, and you have 1 week and do some of the promotion and then go to the race. This is nothing like, you know, other races. So yeah. It is special, and almost like it's just one win, you'll be called by champion.
Yeah.
And it, forever. And that's what the people said.
For every Indianapolis 500, right, the month of May, the calendar turns and boom, Indianapolis comes alive. And it is a month leading into it. It is the race. And if you're lucky enough and talented enough to win it as you were, then it's a whole year on tour as an ambassador for the sport, for IndyCar, for the Speedway, for the event itself. And then after that, it's a lifetime of, like, you're in this very elite club, I think, which is absolutely amazing as well. You brought up the countries there. I don't think there's a sporting event that is more kind of all Americana than the Indy 500, but you are representing your country. And so you're the first Asian, certainly the first person from Japan to reach this pinnacle. Were you surprised at what it meant to the people in Japan when you went back there? And because you knew it was big for you. It's for your career. It's the highest honor, at least in the series that you're racing. But were you surprised at what it meant to your residents there?
Yeah, I mean, the action from Japan is obviously massive. And, you know, is there something that I was expected when you do achieve, like Olympic game too, you know, when the athletes come back to the airport and then people waiting for the fans and to do the, you know, media scrums and the stuff like that. And it was just an unbelievable journey. And over the course of the winter, I've been awarded so many unique awards almost every week and do an appearance and, you know, the meeting the people event is unbelievable. And, you know, one of the good examples is I was in the nominated and won the Car of the Year. Usually, Car of the Year is a machine. And, you know, North America, you know, Car of the Year 2018 is a Honda Accord.
Right.
But
reliable,
year, yeah, but
good on gas.
Year, in Japan, it was me. And the first time in over 63 years of history, the first time actual living human awarded by Car of the Year.
Now, did you have to correct them and say, well, I'm not sure if I qualify, right, based on the criteria? Or no, why did they do that? Because, you know, your training regimen, you are kind of like a machine
it's
out there.
It's kind of a machine, but I think it's just because of significant impact for the auto racing or motorization the industry. And that's why, therefore, they thought just a kind of special award. So that was really appreciated. So I'm really proud of that, and I really, really feel fortunate, man, to be able to be part of it.
I think he's the next Transformer character.
Wow.
I think that's what they're setting up.
We are no, Jim. You are on this because we, you know, I think some of the accoutrements of success that go along with it is there is absolutely no doubt. There may be one right now. Certainly, you've got the diecast cars, you know, of your car and all that kind of stuff. Is there a Takuma Sano action figure in the works?
I have no idea.
Lunch boxes, you know, the kids. You know, it depends on what inspires a kid to get into something and kind of grab hold of what it is that they would love to do or be when it is that they grew up. For you, you know, growing up in Japan, like at what point was racing the kind of thing that you knew was going to be your life?
I mean, it's a longer story, make it short, that I was really interested in the cars and motor racing since I was a child, but I really never had opportunity to racing or going to the track because my parents simply had no idea. But one time, it was when I was 10 years old, a boy, and my dad took me out to the Suzuka, which is in Japan, for the first the Japanese Grand Prix in the Formula One racing. So that day, it was really got me, and I got a dream from since day. But then I had to wait another 10 years to get into the business because, yeah. Again, I had no idea, and I not necessarily had a financial background either. So I had to wait it, but then I found the racing school, which has got the age restriction. So you have to be under 20 years old to get in. So for me, that was the first time and the last chance because I was 19 years old at that time. So that's how I really started. But I was always, always interested in the cars.
I would love to find a way to have more opportunities in racing. I mean, it is the nation's biggest spectator sport in general, whether it's NASCAR or some of the other series that happen. And it's not the kind of thing you can just go out for in school, right? Like football, you know, you can just go out for football. You can't necessarily go out for racing. So it's always kind of tricky on how you would get into it. And when it comes to growing up in and around racing, you know, Jim, talk a little bit about Indianapolis. So identified with it, you're going to be singing Back Home in India, the anthem, right, for the 500. But talk about how the speedway, the race, it kind of comes alive and takes over the community this time of year.
Right, it really does. I mean, I've tried to explain it to people, like, think if the Super Bowl were in Chicago, but every year, right? I mean, it's just the community identifies with it in such a powerful, powerful way. And being able to do Back Home Again in Indiana, you're right, it is kind of like the anthem for the race. Just like at the Blackhawk game, the pregame show culminates with the anthem, and then it's time to drop the puck. You know, I sing the pregame show, essentially, at the race, ends with Back Home Again in Indiana, and somebody grabbed my arm and said, hey, we got to get out of here. And I heard the announcer in the background saying, gentlemen, start your engines.
Wow.
Right? You know, so it really comes to that point. It's like an exclamation point on the pregame ceremony, and then boom, the event starts.
Every Blackhawks game here is an event, and you know this. It is appointment viewing and attendance. There's no substitute for being there. What was it like? So you get to go ahead and do this iconic song in a place where you've grown up at a sporting event, which there is no equal, especially for attendance. So what was it like? You got that call, and you're going to prepare for it. You're going to get ready. You're going to go out there. You're going to do it. I mean, you've got all these things. You've got a business to do. You're at the top of what it is that you do, but you've got all these other kind of things playing in as far as the circumstances.
Well, the biggest one was I'd never done the song before. So if you're going to get up in that venue, you've got to respect the venue and and the song because it's an iconic song, right? So you get up and you really prepare, probably over-prepare. You know, it was touching when I was introduced from, you know, the Chicago Blackhawks singer back home. I mean, the crowd really responded to that, and I was surprised by how how kind of well known. I think I was told by Alex Dameron at the track that Chicago is the second largest market for the Indy 500, yeah. Right? So there is a whole lot of overlap there. I mean, there were fans down who knew I was, who I was, and it was a really, really warm reception. And then at the end, I couldn't, you know, Jim Nabors, of course, everybody loved him. You can't go out and try to sing it like Jim Nabors. You cannot be Jim Nabors. But I, you know, I did it. I went back and listened to renditions he had done over the years. I sang it in a key that he sang it in earlier on, and I sang it very traditionally, used the Purdue band like he did. It's just at the end, I kind of had to end it my way, you know, which did it my way, you know, which well, is right. Kind of like that big grand ending. And people responded so powerfully to it there at the race, and then the social media response also. It was just really, really special to be able to go out there and participate and be embraced.
I think it's an incredible combination. Obviously, the history and a lot of those attachments and connections there just gives it extra street cred and legitimacy, right? But when it comes here, there's a lot of people sing national anthems at every event everywhere, right? And they very rarely become celebrities because of that or revered. And it's because I think of the impact, what you add to the event. You know, people are showing up, I would say, at events like this, not the Indy 500. Obviously, we're there days early, maybe weeks, enjoying all of those festivities. But people do not want to be late to the Blackhawks game. They don't want to miss you. And well, I think that's a testament to, I think that's high praise, right?
Well, thank you. I think the Blackhawks have done a great job with this. You know, that tradition of cheering during the anthem did not come from the administration. It came from the fans. But what the administration has done is they've helped to focus that. And one of the greatest things was bringing the military personnel and the veterans out on the ice. And by the way, I mean, the Indy 500 happens on Memorial Day. And yep. Maybe I'm not the sharpest tool in the shed because I didn't think about that last year. But this year I did. And I've had conversations with Doug Bowles, the president of the track, as well as Alex Dameron in marketing. And, you know, trying to find those ways where we use that, what the track can offer, you know, to help raise awareness for veterans and veteran issues is kind of a value that I share with those guys at the track as well as with the Blackhawks, and it's something that we're looking to incorporate more of as we go forward.
You know, when it comes to whether it's Indianapolis, America in general, I think that there's a love affair with the automobile. Everybody can remember their first car. They have that attachment, regardless of whether it was a great car or not a great car. People fondly remember and look back to the memories that they had in the car. And we talk to, like, all of our guests, whether it's, you know, rock stars, movie stars, certainly so many drivers. For you, Takuma, like, what was your first car something? Because I think of a lot of the cars, like in Japan, it would be very, very thoughtful, very practical, and those kind of things. What was your first car, and like, what was your first car that you got that you really enjoyed?
Well, my first car, I had to use my family car because I couldn't buy it initially, right? So I got a driver's license, got my family car. But my first car, my own car, was a classic Mini Cooper.
Oh, that's actually very cool.
Yes, because the reason was, as I said, it's just continuously. So I went to that racing school in Suzuka, and you have to compete amongst all the driver who done already, what do we say, 15 years of experience or something like that from a children time. And then I won a scholarship, and I used a scholarship to actually flew to the UK, because at that time the Central Europe for the in terms of the aiming for the motor racing, you know, you have to go through the British Formula 3 Championship, and particularly that I really needed English because I had zero English back then. So
oh, wow.
I never lived outside of the Japan too. So I used a scholarship and go to the UK, and while I was in the UK, so why don't we have a British car? And then I initially wanted a Caterham or Lotus and things like, you know,
yeah,
cool car.
Yeah.
However, when I was 21, your insurance and your actual insurance is like a 200% of the price of the car.
So oh, jeez.
It's impossible. You know, under 25 years old, you cannot even hire a car and rent a car in the UK back then.
Oh, wow.
So anyway, so I went to the John Cooper garage on the south side of the London, and it's a proper Mini Cooper. Mini Cooper is obviously the lowest category, so you can actually buy it.
Yeah.
And your insurance is reasonable. So I just got a Mini Cooper, and I still have.
Wow, you still have this? Wow, that's
you.
Awesome. There are so many people I talk to that go back and think, oh, I wish I could get back to that car. So you have, don't ever let it go. And Jim, your first car, you know, what was it?
Oh my God. It was a 1967 Plymouth Fury that I paid $400 bucks for.
Okay.
And it was like a grandma's car. I mean, it was, you know, hey, I was 16. It was wheels. That's all I got to say about that car. It was built of lead or something.
It's like 40 feet long.
You couldn't damage it.
So, Takuma, as we get closer to the race and the speedway, it's IMS.com for tickets and so many other events, concerts, a lot of things that President Doug Bowles has built in, and Alex, to make it kind of a destination for a long period of time, not just the race happening, but all the way leading up. But for you personally, where can people catch up with you as far as social media, follow all your adventures, see where you're going, what you're doing, and catch up with Takuma?
Yeah, sure. I mean, I've got a Twitter bundle, which is at Takuma Sato Racer, and as well as, you know, Reho Letterman Landing and Racing has got Twitter account, as well as obviously, you know, Indianapolis Motor Speedway. So I know we will do a lot of promotions and obviously building up a lot of excitement for the Indy 500.
Well, you're a great ambassador, not only for everything that you're doing, but for the championship and for Indy 500, for Verizon IndyCar as well. So congratulations on all the success. Good luck coming up right at the race. And thanks, guys, both of you, for jumping on the show today.
Thank you very
pleasure.
Much.
My pleasure.